producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
Weekend, America. Welcome to ATN. Kate Delaney, happy to be hanging out with all of you across this great nation and beyond. Boy, do we have a lot to talk about during this hour of ATN. It's interesting, the Ebola quarantine policy is now the big buzz, meaning do you think we got problems trying to figure this whole thing out despite the czar and all the conversation in your neck of the woods and mine and everywhere north, south, and east and west. I was just in New York, and the New York governor changed the Ebola quarantine policy. The White House has been pushing for this to happen, and healthcare workers are returning to New York who had contact with Ebola patients but have no symptoms. They're saying they have to serve a mandatory 21-day quarantine at home, because we just saw that once again we have another person who comes down with Ebola, where all they were talking about is where did he go in New York City? He was at a bowling alley. He rode the subway. Over my weekend, because I was in the city, this was the conversation. What are they going to do? Are they going to figure out that they need to quarantine people? Is that what has to happen here? And it was just massively everywhere. Everywhere you went, this is what everybody was talking about. The, you know, Ebola, Ebola, Ebola. And what about all these workers and all these Doctors Without Borders and so many of them coming from New York? So here's what the scoop is. This is Governor Andrew Cuomo. He announced this on Sunday night, so late on Sunday night, that anybody who's had contact with the patients, but they don't show the symptoms, serves a mandatory quarantine in their houses. This is a change in what used to be for the health workers who came back to the United States. Now, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie also was part of that. In fact, they did a joint announcement. There's a mandatory quarantine policy in effect for the state of New Jersey, too, as well. But over the weekend in Washington, they were trying desperately to get the governors to change that. I mean, I ask you, why, if you have this doctor who, good for him that he was doing the whole Doctors Without Borders thing, and so many people give up their time, help so many other people in so many other areas. We know that. But now you've come across Ebola patients, and you're working with Ebola patients. And who are the people that are affected by Ebola? It's the healthcare workers. So what is wrong with having a 21-day quarantine, which some say, by the way, for Ebola isn't necessarily quite enough? Now, what if they came back from the Ebola areas but didn't have any contact with Ebola patients? What they're saying there is that's a case-by-case basis. So there's, for either state, New York or for New Jersey anyway, they're saying that we'll just go by the cases. So how about this? So in Washington, they're not happy, but in New York and New Jersey, I think because of this latest doctor coming down with it, this is what they felt like they had to do. Now, the other part of this is why Washington is upset, is because they say it's disincentive for the healthcare workers. That, you know, this is bad for Christie and Cuomo to do this, to have these two giant states who have this quarantine rule, because it's going to discourage healthcare workers from helping fight Ebola in Africa, which would ultimately, it could endanger the United States. So why are the healthcare workers going to want to do that when they have to come back and be prisoners in their homes? Are you kidding? Have they seen what's happened because of healthcare workers having contact with Tom Duncan, and then the guy who comes back in New York, the doctor who comes back, and he has Ebola. I think it's the best thing I've seen Cuomo or Christie team up on. It makes complete sense to me. Why not? I mean, okay, so that's what you got to do. Let's be safe about this. Why would we risk that there would be accidental infecting of other people because you worked especially with Ebola patients day after day after day after day? We saw the cameraman, Dr. Brantley, Nancy Reitbold, Nina Pham, Amber Vinson. I mean, I remember their names. All these people in direct contact and in the healthcare profession. So I say bravo. And Chris Christie, they're saying now more than ever, is a giant bully because he will not back down. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention says they set up the baseline recommendations, and they do, but state and locals have the ultimate say to have a tighter policy. So then you have Samantha Power, the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, who worries that this will stigmatize healthcare workers. I ask you, listen, for all of you right now hearing me across America, maybe in other parts of the world too, I mean, really, is it ridiculous to beat up Cuomo and Chris Christie for saying that they set a quarantine? I think it's a smart thing for them to do, but they are getting piled on in all directions. I mean, in all directions. So what do you think? If you want to flip me a call, you can, 855-266-5283, or am I all wet on this? Are you stigmatizing it? Is it making it worse? I mean, after all, the president, heading into the weekend, hugged the nurse who got better, Nina Pham, trying to show again, oop, this is Ebola. You know, so she's fine. She's cleared of Ebola. I think it's unacceptable to not do that. I mean, you've had travelers landing at the 5 airports, by the way, at Kennedy, at Dulles in Washington, at Newark, at Chicago's O'Hare, at Hartsfield in Atlanta, and they've got to go through enhanced screening. Look, Ebola's killed 5,000 people. We know it's in West Africa. But still, are we going to take that chance that we see what can happen with the spread? By the way, the New York doctor who tested positive for Ebola was listed in serious, we've gone down this road before, serious condition. That's what they're saying as of late Sunday, right before I jumped on the air. I checked that heading into Monday. His name is Craig Spencer, and he's in isolation at Bellevue Hospital. He got back from Guinea on October 17th and limited his interactions, but didn't go out in public. He was out in public. So his fiance also has been under quarantine at Bellevue, but they think is cleared and has no symptoms. So they feel pretty good about that. But we know what happens a lot of times, that incubation period. You can also send me an email, americatonight.net. I'll meet you on the flip side. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. exercises, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realist, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Hi, I'm John Rainey, Chief Financial Officer of United Airlines, and I'm honored to be the National Chair for the 2015 March for Babies campaign for the March of Dimes. United is a proud supporter of the March of Dimes mission to improve the health of babies and fight premature birth. We're helping the March of Dimes fund breakthroughs in research and community programs that help more mothers have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Please join us in working together for stronger, healthier babies. Visit marchofdimes.org.
Does advertising on the Genesis Communications Radio Network actually bring positive results? Let's ask
Thomas Baldrick from Free Strike Guy.
And do the GCN listeners let you know they heard your ad?
Customers do let us know they've heard Free Strike Guy ads on GCN. They seem to be very loyal listeners to GCN, and they stay with those shows, and subsequently they stay with our business, too.
Looking for positive results? Contact Lee Wickenhauser at 877-996-4327, extension 107.
Over the weekend, other things besides Ebola and the states setting what their own quarantine should be was on the top of many, many people's minds. And, of course, we have another week in the NFL coming up in our next hour. The magic of Matt Johnson as he pulls together what happened this week in the NFL. It was, once again, another crazy week. And I'll let you know if anybody nailed the score. It seems like it'd be so easy to nail the score, but alas, it is not as easy as one would think. We're talking, though, about this Ebola policy and the White House saying, you know, please, pleading with, like, Cuomo, especially, and Christie, because they have big states, their governors of big states, and because we just had this doctor who came down with Ebola to not have the quarantine for the health workers because it would discourage them. I mean, come on, sorry. They're coming in contact with other people, so you certainly know where I stand on this. 855-266-5283. Let's go to Dan, who's listening to us in the great state of Texas. Really ground zero for Ebola initially in the United States. Hello, Dan.
Hello, baby. Okay, early in September, this teacher was doing a little orientation with her children that was in her class, and she said, well, just before recess, I'd like to know what your parents do. And she said, Edward, what did your daddy do? He said, oh, he's a fireman. She says, oh, that's wonderful. That's a great vocation. He can save people and put out fires and save property. Tommy, what's your daddy do? He's a policeman. Oh, that's a wonderful occupation. He helps people and he protects people. And just a wonderful occupation. Johnny, what does your daddy do? He's a male stripper in an all-girls nightclub. Okay. Everybody's dismissed for recess. Johnny, stay with me for a few minutes. Johnny, is your daddy really a stripper in a girls nightclub? He said, no. He's a quarterback for the Texas team that loses a great deal, but I didn't want to say that because I'd be too embarrassed.
So I made something else up. I love it. You're funny.
Listen, I think you're absolutely spot on about this quarantine on this Ebola, and I don't have anything but support for the communist government of New York and his wannabe president counterpart in Fatboy Christie. So, you know, I'm all for that. And, oh, by the way, one little side note, religion of peace by...
So the stuff that's going on with ISIS is just absolutely ridiculous. Dan, we lost you there for a second. It is ISIS. It is ISIS that is pulling off what's happening in the Middle East, certainly. And we, it's interesting that you talk about the situation with the Muslims, because I'm going to have somebody on the show who's going to go through the Quran with us. I met him in New York, and we had a long conversation about that. So it's interesting. I was thinking about some of you. And he has written a book about religion of peace, not religion of terror, and specifically goes through the whole Quran. And anyway, he's going to be an interesting person to talk to, I think, because we're going to have you call in and ask your questions and all that kind of stuff, and that's coming up in the next couple of weeks after we get through the elections. Jack in Australia. Hello, Jack.
Hello, Kate. I hope you had a great weekend. Mind you, what is it about bad things following you around? You're in New York City on 9/11. You live 10 miles from ground zero for Ebola. You go out to New York City over this weekend, and Ebola follows you up there.
You know, that's the first thing that probably 10 people said to me about Ebola. I don't know. I give up. Luckily, knock on wood, I've escaped all those horrific things. But, yes, it does seem like it follows me.
Now, the whole Ebola thing in the United States made a little bit of a ripple in the Australian talk radio scene when one of the local talk stations was making fun of the fact that Customs and Border Patrol is having a hard time hiring contractors to screen patients for Ebola as they come in the five airports. And, of course, you know, they're wondering, you know, that they were saying that with all the mess-ups and very loose interpretations of protocols, why they were having trouble hiring people. So much to the point that a company in San Antonio, Texas, has been hired by Customs and Border Patrol to hire foreigners to come in and do it. And not surprisingly, even the illegal Mexicans, with the guarantee of a green card after a 6-month minimum contract, are not even signing up for this. Although, in what might be a case of dumb things I shouldn't have done, I'm thinking about applying for the job.
You should apply for the job. I was thinking that. Because, you know, actually, you would be good. So we know we'd be safe somewhere along the chain. It's interesting you say that, because you're right. Actually, in those five spots, they were going for Africans. They were going for initially, let's get anybody who's had to deal with this before and get them in. And then, like you said, had problems with it. It's just insanity. I don't understand it. And, you know, with the regular TSA checks, Jack, today when I went through the TSA, they waved me through a line. I thought, oh, no, here we go. But they waved me through a line just to go through. They didn't even check anything. I'm like, you mean I can just keep my jacket on and shoes and I don't have to take anything out of the bag? No, you're pre-cleared. I am? What pre-cleared list am I on? Usually I'm on the other list, but okay, I'll take it. So I don't know what was going on in Philadelphia, but they were just waving people through. How crazy, from one extreme to the other. I don't understand. I think you should apply.
As soon as it's business hours in San Antonio. I'm calling the company to find out whether my past military medic training will count. My existing first aid certificate would count, considering that it entitles me to be a first aid responder in a workplace and so on. Look, I won't mind the $20 an hour for the job. And as I said, after a minimum 6 month contract, part of the deal they're advertising was a guaranteed green card. Hey, it's not the first time I put my life on the line to do what is right by my neighbors after serving in the military. So I think I'll treat it as a 6 month deployment in a hostile area.
I love it. And you can still do radio on the side. It's perfect. Use me as a reference. Jack gets his green card, and he does it by having to deal with Ebola. Can you imagine? Or has to do with training anyway, for perhaps going in that haphazard atmosphere to fill the spots of those that have to do it. Very, very interesting, isn't it? We live in those times, though, don't we? I think people have said that before. I mean, really, honestly, the Ebola thing is it's just so serious. You know, I'm rereading that book, Hot Zone, and just even reading the first chapter, boy, you know, based on a true story, pretty crazy stuff. I mean, I get it. 5,000 dead in Africa. We know with people hiding Ebola, with the amounts of people that have had Ebola, with the lack of doctors, all that stuff that they're trying to fix right now. But why would we even want to have a slow leak in this country? That's the thing. Do you patch the slow leak, or do you just say, well, you know what? Who cares? Let's just let it run out. Like, our luck is going to run out. I mean, why press our luck? So I think it's a smart thing. Why? If I'm Doctors Without Borders and that's what I choose to do, great. Then I go over. It's my philanthropic need. I go and I do it and I give my time and fabulous, fabulous. And then I come back and I'm specifically dealing with Ebola patients. Well, then I know. So for 21 days, I have to stay home. If I'm a nurse's aide, if I'm somebody else dealing with Ebola, I don't see why that is so ridiculous that you have the ambassador to the UN, that you have the president of the United States, and that you have all the weight of that political office bearing down on these governors and saying that, oh, that's a stigmatism. You're just attaching it to the whole thing of Ebola. I mean, let's not forget, Ebola can still kill us, for goodness sake. I mean, okay, it's not running through the streets, but that's that slow leak. Let's just patch the slow leak. No biggie. It's not a big deal. Or am I missing something? Hey, speaking of terrorists, Dan brought it up. We're going to talk about the latest with ISIS around the bend here on America Tonight.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
UnseenNow.com, proud sponsor of GCN. UnseenNow's unparalleled encryption tools keep your communications secure. GCN.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-297-0154. That's 800-297-0154.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
That's 800-297-0154.
If you need to say happy birthday, happy anniversary, thank you, or simply, I'm thinking of you, ProFlowers.com is the key. ProFlowers has stunning bouquets, like the best-selling 100 blooms for $19.99. Plus, ProFlowers will include a glass vase for free. Sending someone a wonderful surprise of beautiful flowers sent fresh from the field is easy. Choose the bouquet you like, pick the delivery date, and each order is 100% guaranteed. Plus, all bouquets from ProFlowers are guaranteed to last at least 7 full days. Beautiful, fragrant flowers, picked fresh and sent to your loved one for lasting enjoyment. To get this incredible savings and send someone 100 gorgeous blooms with a free vase for $19.99, go to ProFlowers.com. Click the blue microphone in the top right corner and enter code PLOW. That's ProFlowers.com. Click the mic and enter code PLOW.
America tonight with a lot of different people from all aspects of this. What happened to James Foley, just so barbaric and heinous to even attempt to watch that video whatsoever. And you think of the kidnapping and now what we've been talking about with ISIS and whatnot. It feels so personal to so many of us who did not know Jim Foley at all. Can you imagine if you knew him even somewhat, or you were really close to him, or his family members, which we certainly have heard what they've had to say in the last week or so. Joining us now, Tom Risen, who knew Jim Foley, went to him for advice, actually. He's with U.S. News and World Report. Of course, you can catch his stuff there. We've had him on before. Tom, thanks so much for coming back on America Tonight. We appreciate the time.
Thank you. Yes, I went to school with Jim Foley at Northwestern's Medill School of Journalism, and Jim was very, very proud to be a reporter. So a lot of my classmates and I have been feeling the loss, and we were really inspired by Jim. You know, people forget he was kidnapped and held prisoner by Muammar Gaddafi for 6 weeks in Libya and came home and went back to another war zone. So he really inspired a lot of us, and I had spoken with him after he'd gotten back from Libya, and I was freelancing at the time in 2012, and I really wanted to do something big. I was inspired by what he did in Libya, and I'd called him up and I asked him for advice on how to go to Syria, because the civil war there was just carnage, and I really wanted to go and cover it the way that he covered Libya. So that was the last time I'd spoken with him. We had talked on the phone a lot about that, and to see him after he'd gone there and was held prisoner for a couple of years, it was really just a hit to the chest just to hear about that. I mean, we had been still hoping that he would somehow be invincible and still come home. He'd done it before. He survived Gaddafi. I don't know. I was expecting him to somehow miraculously come home.
What was it about him that was he just driven to expose things that were happening to people? What was it that drove him to do the kind of journalism that he did, do you think?
He had been a teacher for a while, and his brother was in the Air Force, so he had some real life inspiration about how to make the people know how, you know, some of the realities of the world that he really wanted to bring home to people. So he changed careers in his late 30s, and he came to Medill, and that's where we met. And he, you know, so he was older than I was, but he wanted to be a reporter. He really wanted to help make people aware of how the world was changing all around us. So he was embedded with the National Guard in Indiana. You know, he went to Iraq with them. And after that, he went to Afghanistan, and then he went to Libya, and he had made this new career for himself as a photojournalist. It was really impressive. And he was just driven by showing people in the United States the realities of the Middle East. We don't know what happens there. He had a brother who was stationed in Iraq, and he didn't know. He had no idea what was going on over there, and he thought that we needed to see this with our own eyes, because a lot of we live a pretty nice life here. We don't have to worry about kidnapping. We don't have to worry about being hit by rockets. It's pretty nice here, and we really don't think about this a lot. And this past week, it's been almost a week since the video came up, and I'm thinking a lot about that, about how we are so comfortable, and Jim wanted us to wake up a little bit to just all of the harsh realities in the Middle East.
Yeah. And, you know, you talked about talking to him about Syria and trying to make the big play and what do you do. And what was it that you were talking about, some of the advice that he gave you, and you, of course, wrote about this. And I thought it was interesting because he said, I love this. This is the teacher aspect that you mentioned about him, that he was telling you, okay, well, you know, first you got to start in Jordan or Lebanon, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's very... I look at Syria a lot like the Spanish Civil War back in the 1930s, where you have all these, you have the fascists who were like Assad, and then you have all these other ragtag groups. You're not really sure what they're doing. You know, they're all against Assad, but you have ISIS, and you have this Free Syrian Army, and you have all these other groups that are fighting Assad, but they're also kind of rivals with each other, especially ISIS. So it's really confusing over there. You can't get into Syria as an American unless you're one of a handful of people, like maybe CNN or New York Times. Although the, you know, New York Times also has had some casualties of reporters going there. It's very dangerous for journalists. So he said you'd probably have to go to Lebanon and get across the border somehow, have someone smuggle you across. And that's what he did in Libya. He went to Egypt, and, you know, Gaddafi was also cracking down the media, so he had to sneak into Libya through the Egyptian border. The free, you know, rebels there had, you know, brought him across and smuggled him through the border. So that's probably what I would have had to do.
Yeah.
And it was very expensive to do that, so the money kept me from doing it.
Yeah, exactly. And you see, so in a sense, because of, I mean, amazing reporting that he did, and the, because I've talked to other people as well that had connections to him, and they say that, I mean, he was just gung-ho about exactly, I mean, you drilled it down, exactly what he thought that people needed to wake up. And, I mean, what a terrible way to see this end for Jim and for his family. Obviously, and when you first saw that video, you know, there's got to be, as I said, the emotions across the board for so many Americans. I mean, this has, talk about waking people up. This has really, really, I think, become the water cooler buzz, because people are, feel so awful for his family. Can't believe it. You know, now want to move forward and do something. Do you think that this may prompt some people to pay more attention?
Yeah, and unfortunately, it takes really dramatic examples like this to wake people up, because people like Jim knew about ISIS for years. They've been around a very long time. They didn't just appear out of nowhere and take control of Mosul in June. They've been around a long time, and people like him have tried to warn us about this. You know, with his reporting, he said, hey, this is happening here. Okay, I'm watching Entertainment Tonight. But now there's really dramatic examples that make it easy for us to understand this. So that's – I mean, his family is in a lot of really tough times right now. But he would have wanted people to be positive about how they can act on this. Like, he was not a gung-ho war hawk. He was not against Islam. There's been a lot of hate speech out there. You know, after his death, they say ISIS is, you know, shows how terrible Islam is, and we should go and bomb the hell out of them. You know, he didn't think that way, and people shouldn't draw that conclusion from his death. But he would have wanted people to realize this is, you know, there's real problems over there. We can't just ignore them. We have to get involved somehow. Like, he was really proud of how his reporting in Libya had inspired NATO to intervene. You know, people like him in Libya showed the war, and they said this is a terrible situation, and France and Britain and the U.S. intervened. And that, you know, he was proud of that. He came home and he talked about that. So I'm sure he would want the world, you know, collectively to do something, not just, I mean, it's very complicated what should be done, but he would have wanted the world to take notice and do something about it.
Yeah. The other thing is going back to his calling and your calling and being in journalism school. I went to J school as well, not where you guys went. I went to Ohio University. And I remember that it was all about the career and the calling and the responsibility when you went through journalism school. But, boy, we have a different world now, Tom, as you know. And I think that his death also highlights that. Where are the good journalism folks? Where are the people that are reporting what's happening underneath the rocks? And perhaps this will also, because we're seeing the shape that some newspapers are in and that kind of stuff, and maybe that'll bring some of that back, do you think?
I don't know about the domestic journalism here in the U.S., but I think it should definitely give more weight to the freelancers, because Jim is one of 160 news providers who have been killed since the start of the Syrian civil war in 2011. You know, and most of them are from Syria. Most of them are freelancers. You know, there's the people who represent major news groups represent a very, very small portion, and an even smaller portion of that come from the United States. You know, there has not been a lot of international coverage of this. There hasn't been, you know, a lot of, you know, the freelancers really are the troops on the ground for the media. You know, they're supposed to, you know, the media is supposed to be neutral on a battlefield. This should, you know, generate a discussion of how, you know, we have the Red Cross, we have some kind of Geneva Code. Reporters should be given greater weight, you know, in a conflict zone. Because I, personally, if I was a Middle Eastern radical, I would not want to kill a reporter. That might actually raise awareness about the troubles in the Middle East, and maybe my relatives would be in better shape because there'd be more international aid. And I think that people should recognize journalists are the good guys. We are there to expose injustice. And freelancers should be given greater weight. You know, some freelancers have trouble getting people on the phone and being taken seriously, but they work incredibly low pay for, you know, I didn't go to Syria because it would have been almost impossibly expensive for me to go. Jim was very grateful that he had the Global Post to support him. So maybe news groups like the Global Post and Agence France, AFP, who also supported him in Syria, will treat freelancers better and take them more seriously.
Yeah, well said, Tom. Thanks so much. You can catch the stuff, U.S. News and World Report. Tom Risen, thanks. We appreciate you coming on.
Thanks.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste, and even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrance, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.
At 30dayfoodsupply.com, you can now purchase a one-of-a-kind product not available anywhere else, a meatless burger dry mix in four delicious flavors. With our new Oregon Trail Foods vegan burgers, all you do is add water and fry. They need no refrigeration. They're packaged in Mylar bags with an oxygen absorber for a long shelf life. They're non-GMO. They're gluten, soy, nut, and chemical-free, but they're loaded with flavor and a good source of carbs and protein, yet low in sodium. Flavors include Italian, spicy Mexican, six vegetable, and black bean olive. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com or call 541-229-0010 and order today. Eat them every day. Take them camping or save them for an emergency. Check them out at 30dayfoodsupply.com and click on the vegan burger icon. That's 30dayfoodsupply.com, where all of our products are produced in Oregon by Oregon Trail Foods. 30dayfoodsupply.com.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document, worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at LegalShield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, LegalShield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to LegalShield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let LegalShield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
Tom Risen again, because of what we've learned now that James Foley went through, I think as suspected, you're not shocked to learn that ISIS tortured the hostages before the beheadings, are you? I mean, really brutal torturing. The four hostages, including James Foley, who you heard his friend there, Tom Risen, speak about him. The New York Times did a report over the weekend talking about the fact that the hostages were severely beaten, they were starved, they had to go through these awful mind mock executions, they were waterboarded, you name it, it happened to them. The British hostages went through the same thing, the American hostages, same thing happened with them, Foley and Stephen Sotloff, and the aid workers, David Haynes and Alan Henning, They had the worst torture because Washington and London wouldn't pay ransoms that were actually provided by other governments. So other governments would pay the ransoms, but those two governments wouldn't. The New York Times story says that the waterboarding was so dreaded by the hostages that the prisoners were relieved that they came back from an encounter with the guards covered in blood. So they knew it was better that they had been bloodied somehow versus being waterboarded. Ugh. And that's what happened the entire time. Foley, who, of course, we were horrified when we saw the video of his beheading, and it shocked really everybody except for the ISIS thugs when it was released back in August. They say that he converted to Islam while in captivity and adopted the name Abu Hamza. That's what the other hostages told the New York Times, that a lot of the Western hostages converted to Islam, but mostly pretended to do so because of the cruel things that were happening to them. And now they're even trying to say, these hostages, in the case of Foley, that they say the conversion was genuine, that it was a genuine thing that happened. I mean, regardless, they beat the guy to within an inch of his life and then mock executed him ridiculous amounts of time. And without a doubt, this just adds more to what we already know to be a very horrific group of jihadists who have absolutely no mercy and no intention, really, I think, of wanting to not do something incredibly violent to people. I mean, I think they completely get off on the whole violence thing, without a doubt. And how we could have stopped them before. I know I've pointed this out many times, but the conversation we had on this show weeks ago with Andrew O'Brien, if you remember him, talking about, he was talking about some other terrible things that happened in his life, but he talked about the fact of encountering ISIS back in 2009. And this goes to the fact that, okay, so ISIS was gaining more steam and they had a lot of connections and a lot of people were interested from other countries in joining ISIS. And we actually had a chance to perhaps stop this, cut it off at the pass, at least deter this group from getting bigger. And instead it was allowed to thrive and survive and get larger than anybody's guess was years and years ago. So now we have more sick, sordid details of these torturings before the beheadings, and it just gets thrown into the pile of, do they have to be exterminated? Absolutely, they have to be exterminated. Absolutely. So the airstrikes that we're paying a crazy amount of money for in the United States, 7 million plus a day with the airstrike stuff, and there's no boots happening on the ground. There's no way that's going to happen. And even really, the people in charge in Iraq certainly are saying they don't want to see that. You have a lot of the Iraqi military, the ones who are dropping their weapons and running, who want to see that, but not anybody on the upper echelons. They don't want to see that. They just want more backup and they want more training. And that whole training is taking place right now in Turkey. Right now that's happening in Turkey. And then of course we've got the pullout in Afghanistan. If you look at the calendar, I mean, we are almost into November. And so this is drawing to a close. So what does that mean? That means we're moving equipment. We got to be moving people. I mean, that doesn't happen overnight. And in fact, you got Marines and the UK combat troops that are turning over the keys to the kingdom, so to speak, the command posts to the Afghan military, because this mission is absolutely wrapping up. I mean, it's up to them now. And so what does that mean? For example, Camp Bastion, which has been really the main camp that's been talked about, this is this base has been huge. It's been the center, certainly, for the British operation since 2006. They took down the British flag. They did a ceremonial deal where they took down the British flag, and they're basically handing the base over. I mean, we're talking about 13 years since 2001, since September 11, 2001, and the terror attacks here in the United States. I mean, that joint base had about 40,000 people working there, coming in and out. I mean, it was pretty much a stronghold for the Taliban, and it was the major hub for NATO, for the UK, for the United States. I mean, so this, especially the UK, though. Huge. So they're turning it over and saying, well, you have the best possible chance of a stable future. You think? The Defense Secretary, Michael Fallon, from England, said that this is their future. There's no guarantee that Afghanistan is going to be stable and safe, but this is the best possible chance of it, really. How long do you give Afghanistan? Not to be cynical, but while we're in the sands, in the quicksand of the Middle East, and what's happening with ISIS in Syria and that swath in Iraq, while that's going on and everybody's focus is there, how long do you think it is before the Taliban just completely controls that country again? I'm going to say, I give it a year, but maybe even shorter than that, especially when you think of the profitability of opium and what's happening with that and those fields, those massive poppy fields. We talked about that last week. I'm going to say it's not going to take too long at all. So the Americans pulling out, the Brits, everybody pulling out of there. What does that mean for Afghanistan? And is this the next thing that we're going to hear about? And I think we will. Just like we're seeing, unfortunately, in Iraq, we're going to hear the same thing in Afghanistan. And that is got to be heartbreaking for anybody who served, anybody who tried to, you know, make a difference, try to help in the training, tried to recruit some of the Afghanis who were very helpful in eliminating some of the Taliban strongholds. And now I think they scramble right back to it. And then you think of the mineral deposits that are in Afghanistan, and that's what the Taliban certainly is going to control. So I think it slips right back, unfortunately, to where it was. But we're out of that game. We're out of that game, and we're into this whole airstrikes thing with ISIS, and then who knows what happens next. So much of our time, treasure, blood, sweat, and tears has really been spent in the Middle East, and that's what those years add up to, both in Afghanistan and Iraq. And we're already watching what's going on in Iraq and trying to do what we can there. And what are we going to see, you know, with Afghanistan? If you have any thoughts on the show, you can always send them to me. What do you say, America? Fair or foul, as the pressure mounts on states to reverse their quarantine orders. 21 days if you're in the healthcare profession and you go to West Africa. It's a no-no, but I say it's a go-go. It's smart for Cuomo and Christie both to say, you got to be quarantined. Thanks for listening.
Pick up the receiver. With your heart racing and sweat dripping from your forehead, you finally muster the courage to dial the number to call into your favorite talk radio show. It rings once, twice, and then...
Hello, it's GCN. What's your name and the state you're calling from?
Surprised you got through, you squeak out...
Jason from Minnesota.
Please hold.
As you patiently wait for your turn, you begin to daydream about being a famous talk radio host and what it would be like to have your own show.
Jason from Minnesota, you're up.
Millions of loyal listeners worldwide waiting to call and talk to you. you.
Caller, are you there?
Cheering crowds surround you, calling out your name. Interact with the host you're listening to right now online at GCNlive.com. Click on the community link. Engage with other listeners. Ask questions. Start debates. Don't agree with the host? Let them know. Be a part of the community at GCNlive.com.